Good morning. I tell you what, if we stop right here now, I think we glorify God and honor those fallen responders. It's so great to see so many people out here this morning to have that opportunity, because it's a rare opportunity we have this morning to be able to solely honor God and honor those first responders who died on 9/11. It's a special day for me because I look, being a first responder, I look at Ground Zero this morning and I realize they forgot it. They forgot what it's all about. At Ground Zero this morning, I can tell you that there is no chaplain there. There is no firefighter. There is no police officer. And there's no medic. And that's what it's all about. You know, you look at the day of 9/11 occurred, New York got it right that day. New York got it right in the way that they had a chaplain there who was a first responder in turnout gear. They were blessing the firefighters that were injured and blessing those who were injured and gave his life that day. As we talked this morning in our classroom, we talked about the sacrifice that he made. He was the first official casualty of 9/11, was a chaplain that day. He's the one that was in the North Tower when the South Tower collapsed. As it came down, he was killed by debris while he was in the North Tower taking care of firefighters who were critically injured already. Because what was happening right from the get-go, there was debris falling, and we were losing firefighters, police officers, right from the very beginning. But he was there taking care of those. The video I had actually caught him in action praying. And this, one of the most famous pictures you see from 9/11 is the firefighters and a civilian carrying the chaplain out. Wouldn't leave him behind. They wouldn't leave him behind. They carried him out. And that's one of the most famous pictures you see. That gentleman who's in that chair is the chaplain that was carried out from there. They wouldn't leave him behind. So for us to have this opportunity this morning to worship God and honor this fallen first responder, we ought to take to heart. I do, because it has a special place in me because of what I do. And I want to thank you so much for the guests that we have here this morning to be able to come and join us. You're our special guests, and as often as said, where you're sitting is now your seat. So anytime you come back, you're welcome to have that seat back. So please come back and take that seat anytime that you like. I want to talk about the first responders. First responders, you know, we're a special breed. We're going to talk about that calling that we have as first responders. But we sit in our fire stations, we sit in our medic stations, or the crew building, as the medics will call it, the crew building. The police officers sit in their vehicles waiting for that opportunity to help. And when that tone goes off as a firefighter, let me tell you something right here and now, that I don't know who's on the other side of that call. As a medic, they don't know who it is. They don't know what color they are. They don't know what financial situation they are. They don't know if they're known by many or known by nobody. We don't care. We respond because we know somebody's in need. When 9/11 occurred, those first responders ran into that building. They didn't care who was up there. They didn't care if they were Muslim. They didn't care if they were Christians. They didn't care if they were Catholics. They didn't care if they were white, black, Asian. They didn't care. They didn't care if they were rich people, poor people. They just knew somebody needed help. And they were willing to give their lives for that call. So, as I talk to the first responders, and as I'll be talking to everybody here this morning, if you're a first responder, you know what it's like to be a Christian. You know what it takes to be a Christian. You do it every day. And as we talk about this, we're going to talk about how your everyday life is just like a Christian. And I'm so honored to be able to be a Christian firefighter. That to me is one of the greatest jobs that I can have as a Christian firefighter. It's an honor to be that to us. So today is an honor to be able to talk about the three things I love the most. I love talking about God. I love talking about my family. And I love talking about firefighting. If I go a little long, I apologize ahead of time. Because I love to talk. I love to talk. Before we really get started about first responders, I wanted to give a note and something to really think about. Every firefighter, every police officer, and every medic has a spouse. We always look at them as our first responders, look at our firefighters, police officers, and medics. But most of every one of them has got a spouse. Now let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that job is 10 times harder than the firefighters, police officers, or the medics. Because we go to work, and this is what we love to do, and we go and we're ready to respond anytime and anywhere because that's our calling. But our spouse sits back and pretty much waits for the call. Waits to see if we come home in the morning. Waits to see if we make it through the day. Takes care of everything at our house. We work 24 hours. Who's there to take care of if something goes wrong? It's our spouse. So often we forget about our spouse, a better half. And that's the best way to put it, is a better half. I'm kind of losing my voice here, so. We need to recognize them on this day as well, because they lost a lot. The thing is, these guys went home. But the spouse stayed back to deal with the grief and everything that goes along with it. But let us never forget those who are behind the scenes and takes care of the family when we're not there. So keep that in mind. Russ, we don't pay you enough. I think being up here for twice, I think I'm earning your money for you today. You know, it's all about that call of duty. And we're talking about how emergency responders are so much like Christians. John 15:12, verse 13. You first responders, listen up. And the rest of you, listen up. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. No greater love is the one who will lay his life down for a friend. And I tell you, these first responders do it, put their lives on the line every day, and they're willing to lay their lives down when the time comes for not only a friend, but for somebody they don't even know. Y'all can follow along. I got a lot of verses, so I might get ahead of y'all. So, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easy to anger. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always preserves. Does that not sound like a first responder to you? Because if you got to have a love for people in this type of business. You got to have a love for people. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you got to have a love for people if you're going to be a Christian. You've got to have a love for other people. You've got to have a love that's patient, a love that's kind, a love that's not envy and not self-seeking. You know, the firefighters, police officers, and EMS personnel are not self-seeking because they sacrifice their lives every day for us. And today, as we honor those who've fallen, those firefighters we have in the windows, we have pictures of every one of them in the window, and the police officers we honor, and the medics we honor, they gave their life without hesitation. They did it not out for self-gain. Oh, look at this brother. Oh, thank you. I love this congregation, that ain't no doubt. As firefighters and medics, you read this and say, man, that's us. always protects. Our police officers protect us every day. And always preserves. The firefighters and medics make sure they preserve life, safety, and property. That's what it's all about. You know, when Jesus came down this earth, he was bringing that great calling to light. And he brought that great calling when he called his disciples. You know, in Matthew chapter 1, we read 14 through 20, talks about this. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. That time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, his brother Andrew, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to be fishers for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boats with the hired men and followed him. The disciples started their journey on a calling with Jesus. In that very same chapter, they started seeing miracles right from the get-go. They saw Jesus cast out evil spirits in verse 27. He saw him heal many in verse 29. And he healed the leopard man in verse 1 and 40. 2 Thessalonians. I'll give you all a chance to turn to that one. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 through 12. You give me a chance to take some water. With this in mind, we consider praying for you, that our God may make you worthy of the calling, and that by this power he may bring to you your every desire for goodness, and your every deed promoted by faith. We pray this so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a calling for us. Just like firefighters and medics and police officers has that calling because they have. It's a calling. There's a calling for us. You know, it's a calling that's a part of our everyday life. You know, firefighter, police officers, and medics, when we talk about this calling, I thought of Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. About how it plays in our life. And Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 tells us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord of God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This commandment that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hand, and bind them on your forehead. Write them on a door frame of your house and on your gates." Let me tell you what. If that don't describe a police officer or a firefighter or a medic, I don't know what does. Because I can tell you, on a firefighter's perspective, if I'm not here or at work and you see me in Walmart or you see me anywhere, you walk up, usually you can pretty much tell that I'm a firefighter because I usually got a t-shirt that got a firefighter t-shirt on. I'm wearing a firefighter hat. So when you walk up, you pretty much can tell a firefighter and a police officer because we're proud of what we do. And it's in our everyday life. You talking about when you get up, when you go down. I could talk to you about firefighting all day long. You get me and Chris Pond together, and we won't shut up. Our wives can tell you, it's time to go. I know, it's time to go. But we love to talk about our job. We can talk about it for hours. If you ever walk in a firefighter's house, some of you have, I know. You ever walked in my house? Could you tell I was a firefighter? Where'd you think all this stuff come from? It came from my house. And that's the way we are. It's a part of our everyday life. There's no way that you could mistaken that I'm a firefighter. And there's no way that you could mistaken that Russ was a state trooper, because we hear stories all the time. He might be a preacher, but I know he was a state trooper, because it's a calling that we have. It becomes a part of our everyday life. Every aspect of our life becomes firefight, as a police officer, or as a medic. You look at medics' cars, you look at our cars, you go out there and look at my truck and tell I'm a firefighter. We post it everywhere. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, we got a lot to learn. Because that's the way our Christianity should be. Our Christianity should be posted on our church, should be posted in our house. When we walk up, people should know that we're Christians. Because it's a calling. It's a part of our life. Because what we take hold of that. We're on a mission. The prayer this morning was perfect. We are first responders for Christ. We have a job to do. And we need to take it seriously and take that as our calling. Like I said earlier, there was no better thing I could be, I think, of being a firefighter and being a Christian firefighter. You first responders, that day, like I said, New York got it right. They had a chaplain there. But these firefighters, police officers, and medics, you are so close to what a Christianity is all about. You're almost a mirror image of what a Christian is supposed to be like. Your attitude, your sacrifice is about your calling. And 1 Corinthians tells us in 10 verse 31, so whatever you eat or drink and whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Everything we eat, drink, or do in life should be about God. We talked about God being our instant commander this morning, and we talked about having Him letting control our lives. We talked about Jesus as our safety officer and the price that He paid and being able to be that mediator. So we have so many resources available for us to handle this incident called life. We have so many resources to be able to get us through that. You know, as firefighters, how do we reach that calling? How are we good at what we do? We prepare by training. We train. We go over our protocols. We have guidelines and standards, Christians. We have guidelines and standards. EMS providers, firefighters, police officers, we have protocols. We go over that protocol. We know that protocol inside and out. And did I say we train? We train. We train at work. We go to classes. We train all the time. That's why we're good at what we do. We train. We train all the time. This is the verse I use all the time. I like it because it keeps me motivated. 2 Timothy 2:15. A lot of y'all know it. I'm using the NIV version. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A workman needed not to be ashamed, one who correctly handles the word of truth. A workman, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A workman not to be ashamed. How do you achieve that? Well, I tell you how we do it at emergency services. We train nonstop. We learn our protocols. So when that medic goes to that person having a heart attack, he knows what to do to save that person's life. He knows what drug to push, when to push it, and how to take care of that individual. And our medics save lives all the time, and they never get credit for it. So we've had a couple months ago at Fort Lee. They brought somebody back to save their life because they follow the protocol. You want to be successful as a Christian? Follow the protocol. You're struggling through life and want to know how to get through it? Follow the protocol. If you want to be a good Christian, praying daily. Not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday if you show up, but daily. That's how the firefighters, police officers, and medics are good at what they do. That's how they were able to save on 9/11. And I talked about it this morning, and I'll talk about it again. You know, we've lost 343 firefighters, 37 port authorities, 23 police officers, 8 medics that day. And they followed the instant command and followed everything they were supposed to, and they stayed together and they sent up those who sent them. But do you realize how many they saved that day? The towers between the two of them hold 50,000 people. Visitors are over 50,000 people. They estimated there was over 100,000 people in those towers on 9/11. We only lost 3,000 people total at the event of 9/11. In the towers, the people were trying to do the right thing and telling people to stay in the buildings because they didn't want them going out because the debris were falling and people were getting killed by debris. So people were told in the buildings. But when the first responders got there and saw what they had, they knew those towers were coming down. They didn't know when, but they knew those towers were coming down. The firefighters on 9/11, when you see some of those documentaries, met each other at the door and said, "Lord, they're trying to kill us." What'd they do? Did they turn around and go back? They went forward. They knew they had a job to do. They knew what their training told them to do. And they were trained for this day. And they ran in. Ugh. And they got those people out and said, "No, you have to leave because this is not a safe place to be at." Those ones that lost their lives saved enough people in the city of Hopewell, Plum Heights, and Petersburg combined. Is how many souls were saved at Ground Zero that day. We hear about the loss, but they saved lives with that sacrifice. Christian, we can do the same thing. We can save lives if we are prepared. If we get trained and if we're ready, we can save lives, eternal life. You know, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It's all in your way. Submit to Him and He will make your path straight." He has the answers to straighten out our lives. He has the answers to get our lives straight. You know, at Company 5, I was a volunteer fire chief there years ago. It feels like many years now. But I was a volunteer fire chief. We had a support unit. It was a wagon. And on the side of it, it had a three-headed dragon painted on it. But on top of it, it had faith in God, trust in training. Faith in God, trust in training. On a fire apparatus. I don't think we'd get away with that today. But that's what it had it on that apparatus. And that's what it takes as Christians. We've got to have faith in God and trust in our training, but we've got to train. We've got to realize we've got a calling and be prepared for it. Psalms 119:105 tells us, "The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path." This word is what's going to guide us through the instant of life. This word is what's going to help us make it through. Let me tell you another thing that the calling does for us firefighters that we do very, very well. We do well as a firefighter, police officer, and those medics. Is that brotherhood and that sisterhood. That bond we have. We do it very well in the emergency services. Galatians 6:1-2 tells us, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burden, so fulfilling the law of Christ." I can tell you on that firefighter aspect of it. I can tell you on the police officer aspect of it and the medics aspect of it. We take care of our own. Because we know we got to depend on each other. Our lives depend on one another. something we do so very well and something we need to do as Christians. We've got to be able to depend on one another. We've got to be able to turn to one another through these struggles, or we're not going to make it through it. You know, I talked about it this morning. Chris Klein, what did we talk about this morning about when you come on shift? Go home saved. Our total goal at the end of the day is go home at the end of the day. At the end of the shift. That's our whole goal. And that's our goal as Christians. At the end of the day, we want to go home. So we do what we train, we prepare, so we can go home at the end of the day. And that's our whole philosophy. You ask any firefighter, any medic, any police officer, what's your goal at the beginning of the shift? Go home at the end of the day. They had an opportunity to go home at the end of the day that day. But let me tell you something that happened on Ground Zero that states that they would refuse to give up on their firefighters. They were there for their firefighters. The days after the Ground Zero, they tried to remove the firefighters, police officers, and medics off Ground Zero. They refused to go. They're not leaving their brothers behind. Let me tell you, we should have the same attitude not to leave our brothers behind. We have brothers and sisters who are not here this morning because they're going through struggle. As that calling, we're responsible, and we should have that calling that we are not going to let our brothers and sisters behind. We need to look out for those who are not here this morning. We got programs, check on your brother and sister that was just started a few weeks ago. Use it. If they're not here, call them. Check on them. Because it's our job and our calling, just like our brothers and sisters in the emergency service refuse to leave Ground Zero, we should refuse to leave here without any of our brothers and sisters. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So much love one another. But this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Everybody, I've been having to tell you about the brotherhood of firefighter and police officers and medics. Y'all already knew that. Because all the stories you've heard how close we live together, how close we are. You already know about that brotherhood. It's so well known out there. That's what we need to know as Christians. That's the way we need to be known as Christians, how we love one another. Let me tell you one thing. Just like Rick bringing me up water, that's done very well here. The brothers and sisters in here, if you ever a visitor, you all... A lot of times I've talked to visitors afterwards, and they said, man, that's a loving congregation. They know this congregation throughout is a loving congregation. That's something we need that we do well here, but it's something we need to continue to do. Continue to do to let everybody know that we take care of our own. It's obvious on the prayer walls that we have. We got a prayer wall in the back wall there. It's got prayers that on one side that we're praying for. It's three rows of it. But if you look at the opposite wall, it's answered prayers. There's over 30 answered prayers so far this year. What a blessing. It's because of the type of congregation this is. Now, as I try to bring this lesson to a close, you know those firefighters or first responders that responded on that day knew their job and did it well. Even though we lost a lot that day. We lost a lot of... That's the most firefighters lost at one time. That's the most police officers lost at one time. That's the most Port Authority lost at one time. And that's the most medics we lost. But if you could bring them back here today, and they could stand here in front of you today, they would tell you they'd do it without hesitation. They'd do it again. Because they know that their work that they've done was not in vain. You look at this country right after 9/11, everybody turned to God. The churches were full because they realized, hey, this is not good. We need to turn to that God. Now we seem to be getting further away. And I wonder what our brothers and sisters in the emergency service would say if they would hear that a chaplain wasn't at Ground Zero. The very one that was the first casualty in 9/11 was a chaplain doing God's work. what they would say. Like I said, New York did it so well. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 8. Go ahead and turn to there. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 7, excuse me. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing one another in love, making every effort to keep the united of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as there was one call to hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has appointed it. First responders, let me tell you, there's not a better and greater calling that there is out there for you to be a first responder plus a Christian. Because you have an opportunity to a higher calling than you're already at. To be able to take somebody, care of somebody physically, take care of their emotional needs, but also be able to take care of them spiritually. What an awesome, awesome honor that is. Those who ain't first responders, you can come to the same calling as we do as first responders. You can reach that higher calling and be able to save people's lives, but you have an advantage. Just like us Christian firefighters, police officers, and medics, you have an advantage that you can save their eternal life. As to think about it as a first responder, that this is one incident that I'm living right now that I know will be successful. I go to a house fire, I'm not guaranteed that house is going to be standing. I'm not guaranteed that I'm going to be able to pull those people out. When a police officer goes to an incident, he's not guaranteed to be able to, that it's going to be an good outcome. He goes to domestic, anything can happen. He can get hurt, more people can get hurt. Medics go to an accident on 95, are not even guaranteed that they're not going to get hit themselves. That there's not going to be a good outcome at the end of that accident. But this is one incident of life that we can guarantee a good outcome. One that we can survive and the one that we have eternal, and we can save others with that same call. We've got to look at our emergency responders on how they handle their everyday life. It's a part of their everyday life. It's a part of their calling. We talked about you can't help but know a police officer, a medic, and a firefighter. No, it's a wonderful calling. But we got to realize that's what it is. It's a calling. We're not just here just passing through not to do anything. We're here for a purpose. As firefighters, medics, police officers know what that purpose is all about. Now, if you have any struggles whatsoever, if you are facing emotional grief in any way, you're facing financial struggles, let me tell you that one of the resources that we have, or the most powerful resources we have, is prayer. And it tells us that a righteous man availeth much. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And there's a lot of righteous people in this congregation, I can tell you, and have them praying for you can achieve so much. We've got a whole wall full of answered prayers because they've been spending this whole year answering, praying for people. If you're not a Christian and you don't know how to be a Christian, you can come up here and we can show you what the protocol says about becoming a Christian. Not what we say, but what the protocol, what the Word says about being a Christian. If you're on that thing, I know what I've read and I know that I should be baptized and I know I should be a Christian. What better day to be baptized on 9/11? What better day? So if there's anything that we can do for you, anything at all. We'll have the elders up here to answer your prayers. We'll be able to help you in any way. If you have any prayers you need, just come on down. If will. If you want to know how to be saved, come on down. We'll take care of you on that line. If you want to be baptized, we got the water ready. All we got to do is lower the screen. It's all ready. So if there's anything we can do, why don't you come down as we stand and sing.